for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Tuesday afternoon, July the 4th, 2000. Summer Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the ladies' meeting, and Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee is the teacher.
Lord, this is the day that you've made, and we'll just rejoice and be glad in it. And Father, as we gather together this afternoon, we just welcome your presence. We welcome the presence of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Father, for your love and mercy and your goodness to us. And now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to give us ears to hear with, eyes to see with, and a heart to understand. Lord, we know physically we do, but we need the spiritual eyes and ears and an understanding heart. And Lord, you said ask, and so we ask. And in the name of Jesus, Father, as we gather together, I bind the strong men of this place. I bind the powers of darkness in the name of Jesus. I bind kings and thrones and dominions, principalities and powers. I bind all the works of darkness. I bind the devil in his work. He will not harass or hinder or disrupt or cause problems of any kind. In the name of Jesus, Satan, I put you on notice that greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. And I take authority over you. Jesus said he'd given me authority over all your power. And nothing will have any greater power than what God has given us. And we bind your power over this building, over this campground, and over every person in it, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we call for the warrior angels to come in and war, to do warfare in the heavenlies, to tear down the stronghold that the enemy has tried to build. And we break his power over the church. And we just ask, Father, that you do a healing, a deliverance in each one of us. Just bring us, Father, to the where we know that we know that we know that you're in charge. And we thank you, Lord, and we love you, and we praise you. And we give all glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. Yesterday, when I was teaching, when I finished teaching downstairs, the little girl came to me that's mother. Remember the prayer we prayed the other night with a lady that had been bit by the dog, the rabid dog? And she wanted prayer for her mother. I told her we had prayed, and I asked her how her mother was, and she told me that her mother was doing better and that she wanted to stand in proxy, and I prayed her again over her. And I was just wondering if anybody had heard anything after that. But she did tell me her mother was better, and I had told her... In fact, I don't think I've seen the girl here before. I didn't know whether she just came in yesterday afternoon or not. But keep praying for... Oh, keep praying for this lady and for healing. I pray that the Lord will restore her every place where the enemy had, in my thoughts, it wasn't good. You know what you can imagine might have happened if you got bit in the face by a rabid dog. And so I just asked the Father to restore every part of it and to give them peace and abound and loose that spirit of madness and loose peace in her heart. So praise the Lord. Are we on? Oh, okay. I'm going to share some this afternoon on curses and breaking curses. And we'll see where we go. I mean, I'm going to start that way, okay? I'll tell you this. I don't care if it's on the tape. Doc and I were talking downstairs a while ago. He came up and sat down by me. We were discussing rejection. He's going to minister to the teenagers this afternoon on rejection. And I told him he could be wrong if he wanted to. But we were really just talking about how rejection works. That rejection comes in the womb. I guess maybe on everybody. I had never really looked at it that way, but when I was talking to him, I thought, you know, all of us go through periods of really feeling rejected. I'm not teaching on rejection. I'm just sharing something with you that I thought it was really interesting, because When I teach on rejection, most of the time, unless I just go totally with the scriptures, sometimes I don't add what I've learned in the area of doing rejection, teaching, delivering people from rejection. But I find that rejection comes in, and it can come in the womb, and when the child is born, and maybe the rejection will come from the family line curse. Or it may be just because the mother doesn't want to be pregnant at that time. Or maybe the father doesn't want her to be pregnant. But that baby feels and receives whatever is spoken over it. And when that child is born, whether it be girl or boy, it doesn't matter. But when it's born, that rejection is already there. And then as the child grows up, it has a real hard time of feeling like it's loved. And if there's another child in the family that maybe that didn't, you know, that every member of the family does not get the curses, it will skip some in the family. And then yet, I sometimes wonder if it doesn't in the family skip, just like it says, what the scripture says, that the sins of the fathers are visited on the children to the third and fourth generation. In other words, it looks like it might skip one generation or two generations and then come forth, according to when you read the scripture and think about it. So I know that it does miss some of the children. And that child that doesn't have the rejection on it can receive the love from the parents and, you know, and look like it's favored to the one that has the rejection. Okay, that child that's feeling all this rejection that can't feel love will get into rebellion. And I've had them tell me how they got into the things they got into. Well, they don't love me, so therefore I'll show them. See, rebellion. And then they'll do things that are bad just simply to get attention from the parents. And then they just continue. If they don't get the attention and still can't feel the love, doesn't matter what the parents do, they still don't, without getting that rejection off, they still can't feel that their parents love them. And so they just continue going into more and more different problems and bringing in more and more demons. So Doc was saying, no, it's all rejection. I said, I know, Doc, it's rejection, but rejection opens the door for rebellion. And what I was seeing and what I went after the schizophrenic spirit in a lady in my church, and I told this before, but we've got a lot of up here that may not know it, or some of you may not remember it, but she had 16 false personalities in her. And we got the 16 personalities out and got the ruler over the personalities out, but we still had to deal with the schizophrenia in her. And she would tell us, she was growing all the time that we were doing this deliverance on her, and it took a long time. I don't mean a year. I don't even mean 2 years. It was over a period of time that what way we did deliverance on her was, as we would do deliverance on her and she'd be fine and she'd go okay a while, and then something would come to the surface again and take over, and we'd minister to that. We, as long as she was at peace, we didn't, you know, she didn't come for deliverance. But when she'd get in problems, she was a member of our church, and she'd come forth to get some more deliverance. But when we got to those false personalities out and all of this, she said, you know, I feel like I'm split right down the middle. And I said, of course, I really didn't. This was the first one I'd ever dealt with. And I said, what do you mean? She said, I don't really know who I am. She said, it just feels like that something, that I'm just being pulled apart. And so many times with people that the spirits in them manifest, and to me, it always makes deliverance a lot easier if they manifest, because I can call the ruler that's in charge of this incident, this situation up, make him come forth. Well, I was calling up, I think it was rebellion in her, and this rebellion came forth, and he kept telling me, split pea, split pea. I mean, he was just speaking the word out. He wasn't talking to me, just saying, split pea, split pea. And so I said, Lord, what in the world is going on? And the Lord said the personality had been split even after the false personalities were. And I said, well, Lord, you put it back together and show me what to do. And he said, one side of that split pea, the split pea the thing was talking about was the rejection, and the other side was rebellion. And once we got both of those spirits out of her, she was delivered. And it was just so interesting. I always tell you, I learned deliverance doing deliverance. So if you're interested in deliverance, do it. As the Lord shows you how. I didn't ask for it. I didn't. But you know, I went to Wim Hurley's church back in 1980. We'd been the minister for a while, and we kind of got thrown into the deliverance. And I went up there to his church, and it was manifestations everywhere. It's up there. I don't think y'all have ever been there. If you have been, you've seen this. And I sat there and watched, and I thought, I just got up and walked back downstairs, and I said, Lord, I'm not sure I want any part of this, but the Lord always tells me, don't judge it till you tried it, or what, you know, wait and see what's going on. So I went back upstairs, and I began to see the power of God. And I thought, Lord, I want to walk under that. If I can do it, if you will let me have that kind of authority, I want to see people get set free, because I was seeing demons begging for mercy. Mercy. I've had them tell me mercy, mercy, mercy. I said, I'll give you the same kind of mercy you've given her, or him, or whoever I'm praying with. But I saw God at work. I saw the power of God. I had never seen the power of God manifested like I did in deliverance. And when I was telling someone just recently, when I hear demons scream and holler, a lot of people get upset, but not me. It's just like music. I say they're singing my song. You know why I feel that? Why I say that? Because they know they've got to go, and all they're doing is trying to keep from going and trying to tell people that I'm not leaving. This is my house and all that junk. Well, they know they're going. They just, you know. So it's you see God at work. And I'm tired of seeing man. I want to see God. I'm fed up with what man has done, what we have done. I want to see what God wants to do. I want to be, I used to tell my husband, I want to be under the spout where the glory comes out. I do. I want to be in the presence of the Lord. So anyways, well, if you will, having said all that, I'll get on with what I'm going to share this afternoon. In Galatians, go to Galatians chapter 6. In chapter 6, as I said, I was going to teach you some on curses. And the reason I'm doing this on curses, I'm going after a lot of spirits, and I'm going to try, Lord willing, give us a good bit of time to call spirits out if you want deliverance. How many here today wants deliverance? Amen. Okay. You saw my hand was up, too. You see, being up here, sometimes you get left out. It's true. But I manage. I'll go sit under somebody else's teaching and get it off. Anyways, praise the Lord. In chapter 6 and verse 7, God says, through Paul here to the Galatian church, he says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them that who are of the household of faith. And Paul's saying here that we will reap what we've sown. We have been reaping seed that our parents have sown, good and bad. We receive the blessings that they've sown, and we receive the bad that they have sown. You know, I used to hear people say, well, you need to pray for a crop failure. But that doesn't work. It would be nice if it did. And say, Lord, I just pray that all the seed my father and mother sowed and grandmother and grandfather sowed, that they just don't come up. Well, that's not the case. They're already there, and they're coming up, and we have to get them out by casting them out. And so, over in Jeremiah, let's go there. I just want to give you some scriptures to back this up. I'm a firm believer of putting the word with what I say. Jeremiah chapter 32. You know, a lot of times in deliverance, the Lord will show me something that, or some spirit or something that I never heard of before, and I'll go ahead and minister on what I see, and when I get through deliverance, I'll say, okay, now Lord, give me the scripture to back it up, because I know it's there somewheres, because I believe that everything that we, everything that we do in the air of deliverance, when God speaks to us, that it's His Word He's speaking, and that He will show us where it is if we will ask Him and seek Him. And when we have the Word to put to it, we know that we can say, this is what the Word says. It's not what I'm saying. I'm just reading what the Word says. I didn't write the book. I remember one preacher we had here said, I didn't write this. I'm just reading it. And that's the truth. In Jeremiah chapter 32 and in verse 18, I started to use verse 17 because we sing that all the time, but let's go to verse 18. Said, thou showest loving kindness unto thousands, recompense the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God and the Lord of hosts is His name. He's great in counsel and mighty in work. For thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men, to give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. God's saying here he's going to recompense. And that word recompense, I looked it up in the concordance, and it said return in kind, repay something that suffered. And I thought, we really do need to get deliverance from this sins of the fathers and stop it from going any further. Did you know that, and I'm as guilty as everyone else is about this, but we break curses backwards, but we don't break them forwards. If I pull my shoes off, I'm too low down to get to this microphone. I'm turning the microphone down. Because I feel a lot better if I got my shoes off. I'm from Tennessee. I'm only barefooted. I'll tell you why I said I'm only barefooted. Anybody know what the rest of that is? No, I'm not so. Oh, praise the Lord. I tell you, the Lord is so faithful. Let's go over to Jeremiah, Lamentations. One of the reasons I was reading this, he also said to recompense the iniquity, and the iniquity is the cause for the curses to come. The iniquity of our forefathers opens the door for these curses to come. And over in Lamentations in chapter 3, and that's chapter 5, verse 64. Wait a minute. Let me find the right place. Here it is. I was reading in the Amplified, and I was looking for it up on the top of my page. That's where it was in my Amplified Bible a while ago. When I get into the curses, I'm going to use the Amplified because it makes the curses very plain. In verse 64, he said, "Rend unto them a recompense, O Lord, according to the works of their hands." And he said, give them sorrow of heart. Give them sorrow of heart. Thy curse unto them." See, this curse, he says, "Thy curse." He's talking about God. We say, "Well, God doesn't curse us," but when we disobey His word and when we are rebellious and don't honor Him, then we open the door for the curses to enter in. Over in Genesis, who did the cursing? Genesis 3, when Adam and Eve fell, disobeyed, God cursed them. And a lot of times in the scripture, when you read it, it's God that's saying it. He said, when we get involved in the occult, the curses, we bring, open the door for them, the curses to come in. But it's God that's doing the things that are the punishment, the punishing of it if we don't repent of it. And you know, ladies, we don't repent the way we don't ask God to give us the spirit of repentance. And we repent sometimes with our heads and not our heart. You know, godly sorrow brings repentance. And when we sin, when our forefathers have sinned, we and they sin against God. Even though we're sinning against our own body, and to bring destruction to it, yet this body is God's. When we have become God's child, we're sinning against God's temple. It's interesting, always interesting to me when demons say, "This is my house." Say, "No, it's not your house. It's been paid for. It's been bought with a price." Well, I've been here a long time. I was ministering to a woman early this morning. It was the funniest thing. I was going after a spirit of Delilah. I might teach y'all that sometime. I've taught it here before. And the spirit said, I've been here a long time. I said, well, I don't care. And that what, but it tipped me off that I needed to go back and break curses from the sins of the mother. I was going after sins of the mother. I said, I break the curse of this Delilah curse over the mother, over this person I was dealing with, over the mother, over the grandmother, over the great-grandmother, and over the great-great-grandmother. And then he says, I'm old. I said, I am too. I'm old in the Lord, you know, I'm a baby in the Lord, but I wasn't telling that devil that. But anyways, we need to stand up on the word and know our authority. And when you listen, if a demon goes to talk and listen, they lie, but they also tell you the truth. They'll tell some truth. And see, if that thing had not said, I'm old, I wouldn't have thought, I wasn't thinking on the curses. It just hadn't occurred to me that Delilah comes in under, like everything else, under the curse. Where was I? Oh, let's go to Romans chapter 12. I do this all the time. I don't know why I do it. I'll start, and I know where the books are, and I go right the opposite way, and I start off. What's his name? Said dyslexic. I broke the curse of that. I would not receive that. I said, don't try to put that on me. I don't believe it. I'm not. I have sound mind. Romans 12 and verse, by the way, when you hear a lot of that stuff coming forth and you know, just like when I'm talking here, if you know you've been delivered from it, don't let the enemy open the door for you to receive it back. You can take it back if you want to, but you don't want to. Once you go through deliverance to get it out and it's gone, keep it out. verse 19. Paul said here, dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. As for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. See, it's up to God to, when you go back to the sins of the fathers or sins of the mothers or sins and iniquities, God will recompense all of this if we will forgive. You know, how many of you in here believe you can remit sin? Did you know you can remit sin? John 20:23, Jesus said, whosoever sins you remit are remitted. So we need to remit those sins of the people that and iniquities, because the Leviticus 26:43-45 in there somewhere, in those three verses, it talks about that the sins of the fathers must be confessed, but we confess our sins first, and then we confess the sins of the fathers. And if your fathers and mothers, you know, are not confessing their sins, so what we need to do is say, Lord, I remit their sins according to your word. You said, and then I usually quote the scripture to remind the Lord. You know, in Isaiah, God said, come and let us reason together. Well, what have we got to reason with God with? Only his word. And I said, well, that's what your word said. He said, put me in remembrance. Well, he knows what his word said, but when I remind him of it, he knows that I know it too. And I said, Lord, this is what your word said. And you said heaven and earth would pass away, but your word would endure forever. And so, Lord, I know that your word is true. It's true, Lord, even if I'm not believing it, I know it's true because you said it. See, he said it. That settles it. Whether we believe it or not, it's already settled. So he said he'll deal with this. Now what we've got to do is forgive, and we've got to remit the sins of our forefathers. And if you know something specifically that you're under a curse from the sins of your forefathers, you need to repent of it for your mother, father, whoever, and ask God to forgive them. And as you do that and then repent of your own, then you're taking away the power of the enemy when you get ready to get deliverance, that it won't have anything to hold on to. That's why we break curses when we're praying deliverance, because the curse can hold a demon in. I've had them tell me, I'm not coming out. And I'll say, yes, you are. No, I'm not. I have a right to be here. And when they say that, you can believe that there's a curse there and you need to break it. And I used to would break them, like the word says, to the third and fourth generation. And I've had demons tell me, that's not far enough. I don't have to go. I said, okay, I'll go back as far as you can go, to the Garden of Eden. And I break curses on both sides of the family, all the way back to Eden. And the demons sometimes will scream and say, don't do that! Because they know they've got to go once that you do that. Okay, going on. I'm going to cut this real short. Let's go to Exodus chapter 22. In church this morning, I went to write something in my notebook, and I couldn't find it, and I didn't know where I'd left it, and I left it in the car. I had to go back to the car to find it. I thought, oh, I hope I haven't lost it. Exodus 22 and verse 18. Now, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified Bible, and if I can find it, I'll read it out of my King James. I brought three Bibles with me, one King James, one the New King James, and I think I got enough. I like this one because it has a full concordance in the back, and that way I always have my concordance at my fingertips, and when somebody's talking and they say something I'm not real sure what they're saying, I'll back over there and check it out. I like to be sure. In verse 18, it's in the Amplified, it said, whosoever... You shall not allow a woman to live who practice sorcery. Or in the King James it says, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. See, it makes it so clear, practicing sorcery. I thought, Lord, don't men practice sorcery too? They do. They practice witchcraft. There's male witches. And then in verse 19 it says, whosoever lies calmly with a beast shall surely be put to death, in the Amplified. And he said, he who sacrifices to any god but the Lord only shall be utterly destroyed. And so this is idolatry, and in your Bible it says, whosoever lies with a beast shall surely be put to death, and he that sacrifices unto any god shall save unto the Lord only he shall be utterly destroyed. And so here we've got beast, we've got a witch, we've got witchcraft, and I thought it was so interesting that in several places in the scripture, when it lists witchcraft or a witch, it also lists bestiality. You know what bestiality is? Everybody knows, having sex with an animal. Let me tell you something. If you bring an animal into your bed, it says that lies with an animal. Think about what the word says. Whosoever lies with a beast shall surely be put to death. Bring it into your bed. It's an abomination to God. It's wrong. You say, well, I my little dog sleeps in the bed with me. Okay, you don't sleep with me. I'm not being ugly about that. I'm just saying, I just want to tell you that this is also bestiality. A bestiality is having sex with an animal. I was just talking about this somewhere just recently. I wasn't talking about it came up in the conversation. It was talking about adultery, witchcraft, and bestiality, and all of this. And they would tell me in some state that I guess it's a farm state that somebody was talking to me about. Oh, I know who it was. It said that it's just common. Bestiality is common. It because of the farm animals.
What's the difference between a warlock and a witch?
Warlock is a male witch.
Oh, he's
over a coven. He's high up in it, but there also you've got the priest that's over covens too. The high priest. I was talking yesterday about the things in the clothes. There was a dress in the church that had a sundial on it, and when I mentioned it yesterday, I didn't even go into it about sunrise services that are not of the Lord, because you face the rising of the sun, which is where? And that's idolatry, and it's also paganism. And this sundial, they put it in a lot of clocks that you buy, the big grandfather clocks and so forth. You'll find that the sun burst in there. Well, it's a symbolic of the sunrise services, and also that witchcraft and the occult. And then also in that material I saw, it had the high priestess symbol. It had, I think that dress had everything in it, every design of the occult that we know about was in it. It's hard to describe, Ruthie. It's just patterns. They're not joined together. And I learned it through a witch that came. That's why I asked Dr. Noel about it. He had those on paper down there at one time and taught it. And I keep hoping he'll do it again this time, because I would really, I can't find it in my books. I've got books with it in there, but I really don't want to go through all my books to find it. So I thought if he had it, I'd save me a little search. But anyways, going on from here, and he said, "He that sacrificed any god save unto the Lord only, he shall be utterly destroyed." So can you see, look at this as I'm talking, telling you this, and look and see if we're under these kind of curses, that you know that the curse of death is already on us. Of course, you know, you start dying time you're born, the day you're born. But I'm talking about a supernatural curse of death that is on us because of the sins of our forefathers. Until we repent of these and break the curses and get them off of us. If you don't ever get them off of you, you need to repent of them and take authority over them. Am I boring y'all? Anybody going to sleep? Well, I just read it. let me look at it. What she said spiritually. Inordinate affection. Thank you. That's what it is. Honey, I'm dealing with this with my own daughter. I know she, right now, thank God she don't have dogs. She moved in a condominium and they won't let her have a dog. But, and I have nothing against animals if you won't have one. And a lot of people need them for company and all this. But the thing is, let me go on and say this to you. Okay, I told this before, tell it again. My daughter-in-law had a baby, a little girl, just a precious little girl. She would not love it. She would not love her. She could not love the child. And she had six cats. And she would go outside every morning and leave that baby in her house by itself and go out there and love those cats. And he said, "Well, you're just angry at cats." No, I didn't even know she had the cats until she got into deliverance. And we were doing deliverance on her, and a cat spirit manifested on her. And we got the spirits off of her, the animal spirits off of her. And it was so beautiful to see the change in her life. See, the inordinate affection. She went to the animals. She had two dogs and six cats and a baby. She had picked that little girl of hers up one time and threw her into the piano. And I didn't even know she had, all this was going on until she got into deliverance. I knew that she didn't moan in part. She'd come up to my house and the baby was like this, you know, take it. And when we got into deliverance and found out what it was. But anyways. This was showing me how animals take the place of God, a natural instinct of loving your own child. And so I have no idea how she got that before she got the cats, because you've got to have it before you get all those animals. And anybody had a cat they wanted to get rid of, she wanted it. When she got rid of the spirits, she got rid of her cats. I didn't tell her to. It's her problem. You know, it's her business. And I'm as long as she didn't mistreat the baby, you know. And so, and then when she's had two other children, and her kids are just, they're just really, you know, they loved, and she's homeschooled them, and she's given her whole life to her family, and the deliverance has made such a difference. And as I said, you can interpret it the way you want to, but this does have, when the Lord showed it to me, and it was the spirit of inordinate affection that we talk, you find in other places in the scripture, because it's putting your love in the wrong place. It's so, so that's, you know, I'm not against them. I just don't have any. I bind its power in the name of Jesus. That's why I was wondering. I bind the spirit of slumber in the name of Jesus. I bind and break its power. I bind witchcraft curses in here. I command them out. I come against the spirit of tiredness and slumber. Come on out of there. Let them go. Turn them and come out of there. Loosen them and let them go. In the name of Jesus, you have no part in the lot in here. Come out of there. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let them go. Come on. All of the tiredness, too. All the tiredness. You get tired. Your body gets tired of sitting. And in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, let's stand up and stretch. Come on. Let's stand up and stretch. Thank you for bringing it to my attention. I knew it was, that's why I said, are you here? Are you bored? In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for deliverance. We thank you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Can I do something different today? You can sit back down if you want to. Can I? Oh, good. She gave me permission to do what I want to. Okay. Girls, pass out everybody a tissue. I'm going to take these as I go to them and do them one at a time, if that's okay with you all. Instead of just sitting teaching a whole bunch, I'm going to stop and do deliverance right now on witchcraft. Okay? It'll keep us busy. Now you're gonna have to stay with me. This, the only reason I don't do this, because we get rambunctious, you know, get to talking and all this, and you can't hear. But I wanted to try to do this to see if it would help us get more deliverance. Okay, I really believe it will. Uh huh. Okay. Well, in the name of Jesus, Father, what's your child's name? Father, in the name of Jesus, I break the curse of rejection from the womb on Chelsea. In the name of Jesus, I command it out of her. I call it out of her mother. The words that were spoken, I call them out in the name of Jesus. They will not bear fruit in Chelsea in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. And Father, you said there's no distance in spirit, that you sent your word and healed them of their diseases and delivered them. So we loose the word now to Chelsea to free her from the rejection from the womb in the name of Jesus. And I break every curse of rejection from the womb over her in the name of Jesus Christ. And everybody else in here, if you want it, in the name of Jesus, I break the curse of rejection from the womb over everyone in here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I call out the spirit of rejection. Let them go. Let them go. Come on out there. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn them loose and let them go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, I'm going after the curse of the witch. I break every curse of the witch over everyone here through the sins and iniquities of the forefathers in the name of Jesus. And I call the spirit of the witch out right now in the name of Jesus. Spirit of the witch, come out of there, and all the witchcraft, come out of them. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loosen them. Loosen them and let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, cough it out. If you think you might have something there, cough it out. Stir them up. And all the coughing does is stirs them up. Come on out of there. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come on out of there. Turn them loose and let them go in Jesus' name. I come against the spirit of curse of bestiality from the sins of the forefathers of lying calmly with the animals in the name of Jesus, and the spirit of inordinate affection. Come on out of them right now. I break the curse of it and call it out. Bestiality and inordinate affection. Come out now in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. We close that door, Father, on worship of animals in the name of Jesus. We tear down that altar right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we build an altar to worship you in Jesus' name. We ask you to forgive us, Father, for the worship of the wrong thing in the name of Jesus. in the name of Jesus. Well, praise the Lord. Let's go on. Okay. I'm going on to another scripture, okay? Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am?
Do you think like, if a mother has to have a cesarean or her body can't have a child naturally, that there's anything like that?
Yeah. I would think it would be... Fern, do you have anything on that? On having a child by cesarean, what kind of spirits could come in that area? Do you know? Okay, is anybody in here having any knowledge on that? Okay, let's do it.
I have evidence that actually as a cesarean birth, if you will study that
Okay, well let's just break the curse of cesarean birth. I break the curse that came in from a cesarean birth, and from where the name of it came from, Father, you know, and in the name of Jesus, I break that curse and over anyone here that was born that way or any of the children that were born that way in the name of Jesus, and I command the spirits that came in at that time to come out in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, turn loose and come out of there. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. See, it's unnatural. And so I call out that unnatural birth in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come on out of there. We break the power of it and call it out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Okay. In the name of Jesus. Come on out, Ruthie. Come out, Ruthie. Let her go. In the name of Jesus Christ, turn her loose and let her go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Loosen her and let her go. Let her go in the name of Jesus. Anyone else in here born that way? In the name of Jesus, I break that curse over you, and I command this, everything that came in and that spirit of unnatural birth to come out. Come on out there. In the name of Jesus, I break it over you, Don Lane, in the name of Jesus, and call it out. Come out of her in the name of Jesus. Come out of her in the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, everything that came in through that cesarean birth, unnatural birth, not the way God planned it, we command you out. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. Turn loose. Turn loose and let them go. Let them go. Come on out of there. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And you cough that thing out of YouTube. Just stir it up, okay? Come on out of there in the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus Christ. Come out of there. Come out now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Every root of it. In Jesus' name. That's interesting. I had never thought of that. Mm-hmm.
How about the women?
That's what I was doing. No, it was after the adults. What?
Enforced labor.
Okay. I break the curse of it. What, you got something else with it? Okay, by enforced labor, they had problems, so I break the curse and the power of that enforced labor and call it out. Whatever came in through it has to go in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, because it is not natural, and because God ordained it a certain way, and in the name of Jesus, I call out everything that came in the name. Even if the child was born and we all were born naturally, then we're all under that. So, in the name of Jesus, anything that came in through that, forcing the baby to be born, I command it to go, premature. In the name of Jesus, I break everything off that came in through premature birth. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let me tell you something. If you got grandkids now, or children, or whatever, that may have been born this way, you can pray over them and take care of the problems that may have come in. And go like Bernadine said, where did you get the knowledge from this? In a encyclopedia? Get your encyclopedia or somewhere, or go to the library and get something on it and find out what all comes in and where all this came from, so you can know what comes in. We're cleaning up. See, we're trying to cleanse God's temple. We're wanting the Lord. I stood and wept this morning while we were praising the Lord. The presence of the Lord was just so strong, the tears were just rolling. I thought, Lord, this is so good. You know, I just loved it. God's cleaning us up. So, Praise the Lord. Sometimes surgery hurts, and this is a form of surgery. One pencil, I better hang on to it. Praise the Lord. Oh. Came from Babylon? I still didn't understand. Pavlon. Okay. I come against Lamaze's birth. That's witchcraft, isn't it? The occult. Mind control? Oh, you fixed your eyes on something. Okay. I break the power of mind control, and I break every curse that came in through Lamaze in the name of Jesus. And I command it out right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, loosen them and let them go. Come on out of there. We break it over the children. In the name of Jesus Christ, every child that's been born this way, Lord, we take authority over it because you've given us authority over all the power of the enemy. In the name of Jesus, can y'all see how the enemy has gotten into every area of our lives? It's unreal, isn't it? Unreal. In the name of Jesus. Well, let me go on. I got some more curses we want to deal with, okay?
Do you know why he attacked that area? Because when a mother gives birth, she is closest to death. Than natural death.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The point of birth is the closest point of death to death.
Right? And she's opened up. She's fully of insemination. The Israelites are the stranger that sojourn in Israel who give any of his children to Molech, the fire god, worshipped with human sacrifices, shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. Now, let me finish reading this. I also will set my face against that man, opposing him, withdrawing my protection from him. Listen to this. And excluding him from my covenant, and will cut him off from among his people, because he has given of his children to Molech, defiling my sanctuary and profaning my holy name. And if the people of the land do it all, hide their eyes from the man when he gives one of his children to as a burnt offering to Molech, the fire god, and they overlook it or neglect to take legal action to punish him, winking at his sin, and do not kill him as my law requires, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off from among their people, him and all who follow him to unfaithfulness to me, and thus play the harlot after Molech. The person who turns to those, I don't want the next verse. Think about this. God said in this Amplified Translation that we, every one of us, are guilty of this. What have we been able to do because of the sacrifice of children? We've seen millions of babies sacrificed all the time in abortion. So we need to repent of that, don't we? Say, Lord, forgive us for being not doing anything about it, not even raising a protest enough to overcome the things of the world that have come in where children are being sacrificed. Lord, help us and forgive us and cleanse us from the child sacrifice, from abortion, of allowing abortion to come forth in our country as it has this day, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we repent. We come before you and repent and ask your forgiveness. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I break the curse of Molech over everyone here and of abortion. If you've had an abortion or even recommended one or told someone where they could get one, you're as guilty as the person that had the abortion and need to repent of it, because it's murder, child sacrifice. There's another one. I can't think of what it is right at the moment. But we're under these curses because of it. And I guess shedding innocent blood, that was the one I couldn't think of. Thank you. Now, we're all really guilty if we have all of these things, since we have not, even we might express our thoughts and voice to one another, but done nothing about trying to stop it. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over those spirits as we confess this, and that the abortions that we were involved with just by sitting idle and doing nothing about it. And I ask that you, we repent and ask you to remove the curse of death off of us in Jesus' name. I break that curse of death over everyone here in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and take it to the cross, Father. And I call the curse of death off of each one of us that you put on your people when we have disobeyed you in this area in the name of Jesus. Now I call death out. Death, you loosen God's people and let them go. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, let them go. Let them go. Child sacrifice and shedding of innocent blood. Come out now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you think it might, well, I know it's on all of us. We need to really stir those things up and make them go. And as I said, you make it go. Cough it out. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let them go. Come on out of there. Turn them loose and let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loosen them. Loosen them and let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on out of there. Turn them loose and come out in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let them go. I'm still going to go in long line deliverance in a few minutes because I've got a lot of the spirits over here. But I thought I was just wanting to see if we could do more with it by doing them individually. Going on, let me see. I want to go into verse 10. Well, let me back. I'm in 20 of Leviticus. Let's back up to let's just read verse 9. He said, everyone who curses his father or mother shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or mother. His blood guilt is upon him. The man who commits adultery with another man's wife, even his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall... shall surely be put to death. And there's a scripture over in John 8, chapter 8, verse 4 through 11. And the man who lies carnally with his father's wife has uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of the guilty ones shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon their own head. So I break the curse of incest of everyone here in the name of Jesus. And I always say this because I know that it's true that every one of us are under the curse of incest. If you haven't had it broken off of you, and a lot of you have, because we do this. Incest has always been hidden and it hasn't been taken care of from generation to generation. And now that we have come to the generation that is learning about this, we're breaking the curses of it. And I break the curse of incest for four generations forward in the name of Jesus over our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and our great-great-grandchildren in the name of Jesus. And I call the curse of incest, child abuse, in the name of Jesus Christ to come out and let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. Turn them loose and come out of there. Let them go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every curse of incest, come out of there. Let them go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of it. Incest. Incest. You know, God, remember what God said through Paul over in Corinthians? That it's an abomination. Remember in the church, it was in the church, and they didn't do anything about it? The man was sleeping with his father's wife, and God said, "Told her, lay hands on her. In the name of Jesus, come on out of there. Let her go. Let her go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Turn her loose. Turn her loose and come out of there. In the name of Jesus." If you go back to, I was sharing this the other day, somewhere it might have been up here. If I didn't talk so much, I could remember where I'm doing this. But I'm going to say it again. The Corinthian church, when that man was sleeping with his father's wife, Paul told them to turn him over to the devil, that his soul might be saved, that the devil destroy his flesh, that the soul might be saved. Well, over in 1 Samuel, when Eli didn't judge the sin as a priest, he and his sons both died. So the pastor of the church, if they know this is going on and they don't do anything about it, the pastor's guilty. Go back to Joshua when Achan sinned and brought sin into the camp, and Joshua found out about it. When God spoke to Joshua, he didn't say Achan sinned. What did he say? Israel has sinned. And they lost the battle that they were fighting. So what it tells me is that God's saying, hey, church, clean up your act. Get sin out of the church. You know what Jesus said. You go to him. If there's somebody in the church that's sinning, why am I getting on this, Lord? You know I don't. You go to that person and you talk to them. And you tell them that they're sinning. You know, you're committing adultery, you're committing incest and all of this, and you're bringing a curse upon the whole church. You see what the Lord had been showing me, and when he was showing this to me, that the whole church gets under a curse because of one person in the church, if nothing's done about it. And so he said for us to do something about it, and we've got to get the sin out of the church, and we start, and as I said, one person go to it, which should be the pastor. And if he doesn't do it, if he doesn't listen to the pastor, then whoever goes, the pastor goes, should take another person with him. That's what Scripture says. And then if he won't hear the church, hear the, those two, what does it say? Take them before the church. Let the whole church judge him. And he still won't clean up his act, then you just kick him out of the church. You know, that sounds bad, but you know we need to obey the word. And you know what? You know what it does? It gives the individual, lets the individual look just how bad his sin is, that maybe he can see what he's doing and repent. We had this happen in a church in my hometown. I wasn't in the church at the time, but the man left the church. They threw him out of the church. He wouldn't listen to him. I don't remember the detail, but he had a mistress, and that was bad. That was all they needed. I mean, they needed him out of the church. And the pastor went to him, and they threw him out of the church, and it was years later. He repented and came back, and they welcomed him back into the fellowship. So, you see, his soul was saved simply because his sin was pointed out to him. But what do we do today? We look the other way. We do, don't we? We do. We don't want to offend. Well, you know, God's word offends. Somebody tell me this morning, I can't remember who did it, was talking to me, said, when I speak things that make people mad. Well, I can't help it. I'm just reading what the word says, and I'm not going to compromise it for anyone. Because if I do, I get myself in. Hey there, girl. I get myself in trouble. I can't afford it. As a deliverance worker, somebody told me don't call myself a deliverance minister. I am a deliverance minister. I don't know what else to call myself. I teach the word and I do deliverance. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad God gave me this. I'm telling you, I just love it. I just love it. And let's see, I went after incest. Now I'm going after adultery. God, Jesus said over in the Gospels that if you look at a person to lust after him, somebody tell me what he said. You commit adultery with them in your heart. You're just as guilty as if you performed that. So men are real bad about this. I don't know. The TV and things on TV today, they say talk about the women, so I don't know. But anyways, in the name of Jesus, I break the curse of adultery over everyone here. I command that curse to loosen and let them go. The word says that when a person commits adultery, they destroy their own soul. And I ask, Father, you restore our souls, and I break that power of the adultery and call the spirit of adultery out. Come on out of there in the name of Jesus. I break the curse back to the Garden of Eden on both sides of the family. And I call that curse, that spirit out in Jesus' name. Let them go. Come on out of there. Let them go in Jesus' name. Turn them loose and let them go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Loosen them and let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You know, there's a scripture over in Numbers that talks about adultery brings the spirit of jealousy, but it also brings large stomachs to women. It brings female problems to women. Read it. It's Numbers 5, I think. It's in the chapter. I think it's Numbers 5. Get your concordance. You can find it. I can't remember, but excuse me. That's under the curse of adultery. The adultery brings in the jealousy. And then they, you know, read it. It talks about the way they judge people to see if they're guilty or not when they've been accused. But my point is that it's in on the whole everybody here, because you don't know what even your father and mother did. You only know what they let you know. Praise the Lord. Well, go on. Let's see now. I'll go to the next one. Verse 13. If a man lies with a male or as if he were a woman, both men have committed an offense. Something perverse, unnatural, and detestable, and they shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them. And if a man takes a wife and her mother, it is a wickedness and an outrageous offense. All three shall be burned with fire. But both he and they, after being stoned to death, that there be no wickedness among you. Boy, God didn't. He said, clean up, get the guilt, get the sin out, didn't he? Stone them to death and then burn it. Burn them up in the name of Jesus. So let's go on. Let's see. Let's go after the, what is that? Homosexuality. Well, break the curse of homosexuality and lesbianism over everyone here in the name of Jesus. Back to the Garden of Eden on both sides of the family. And I command it to come out and go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Turn them loose. Turn them loose and let them go. Come on out. In the name of Jesus. Every curse of homosexuality, lesbianism, unnatural sex, come out of there now in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come on out of there. Let them go. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Loosen and let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come on out. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now here's one that I have very seldom ever worked on, for the simple reason that I've overlooked it, and then when I do see it, and if I'm ministering to men and women, I won't call it out. Okay, where did I see that? 15. And if a man lie calmly with, no, that's not it. I thought, just read it. If a man approach, well, I'm still at the wrong. Wait a minute, hold on, just a minute. Let me think. I lost my place. If a man takes a wife, now I did that one, now just read it. If he's having sex with a woman during her period, where did I see that? 18, okay. And if a man shall lie with a woman having her menstrual pains and shall uncover her nakedness, he has made naked her fountain and she has uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among the people, their people. And then it goes on to say, you shall not uncover the nakedness of your family. But I break any curse that came upon every one of us here, even through our sins or the sins of our forefathers, in the name of Jesus, of having sex during menstrual periods, in the name of Jesus. And I command that, I drive that curse out in Jesus' name. Having sex during the period time, in the name of Jesus, come on out of there. Let them go. In the name of Jesus Christ, this is the cause of a lot of female problems, and I call out every female problem that goes with it. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, come on out of there. Come on out of there. In the name of Jesus, cramps, infections, yeast, endometriosis, in the name of Jesus, tumors, fiber of tumors, cancer, in the name of Jesus, and all, any and all diseases that come through having sex during the period, come out of them in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, let them go. Come on out of there. Let them go in Jesus' name. Turn loose and let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot stay. Listen and come out of there now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Listen and come out of there. Whoop. I'm losing my microphone. It's going down. No, Robbie. Shouldn't be leaning on it. Mm-hmm. I'll do it. Don't everybody go. I'll ask them. That's just one of us go. Donna, would you remember to ask Reba get it for me? She's real good about getting tape. Well, I'll ask her if I see her. But sometimes I never see her. Uh-huh. Okay. Very good. The thing I find is very funny and strange in here that very few people got deliverance from this, and I know it's on everybody. Have you not had any female problems at one time or another? Do you learn how to get it off of you so it'll come off your kids? It's worth it going through it. Ladies, nobody cares in here. I mean, you know, who cares what we're dealing with? I don't. Call it off, everything call off me. I told her to make that tape. I'll take it home and listen. And I'll sit under it. See, I can get deliverance because I can take the tape and sit under it myself. Because I can get my church on me. They have too much fun when they do deliverance on me. I don't want to let them enjoy that. That whole church gangs around me. You know, I'm not kidding. They work on me till I'm ready to. I'm exhausted when they get through with me, but I'm delivered. I get freedom. I praise the Lord for them, though, that they will do that. It's really interesting. I could be up at the pulpit. I'll tell you this. I'm up at the pulpit and get under attack. And I do a lot of times. And one of them, I recognize it, and they'll start praying for me. I thank the Lord for it. They sit there and they go to pray, and one will lean to those to pray. And the next thing I know, the whole church is back there, and I just stand there getting prayer. I praise God for them. I really do. Oh, praise the Lord. Okay, going on. Let's see. I want to go to verse, let's see, 16. I've already covered that. 18. If a man shall lie with a woman, I just did, that was the one I just did. Okay. Let's go to Leviticus 17. Back up three chapters. Let's get on the blood while we're here, okay? I tell you, if you want some of this to take home with you, if you really want a good tape on it, on the curses, sitting time when Glenn Miller's done on the curses, he goes into it. I mean, he just takes his time, and he goes, see, I'm usually short of time in heaven. It's like I did yesterday. I didn't even have to chop my sermon up till I don't even know what I preached. And they take so much of my time before I get my time. And sometimes I can just go to, you know, part of the way. But if you'll get one of the, where Glenn has done it, and he's real good in going into every detail of it. And Sins of the Fathers, I think the name of it, because I had one of them somewhere at my house a long time ago, and I need to get mine back out and listen to it, because you get a lot of information when you listen to it. Did he? Good, good. Yeah. He's back. What he's trying to do, you all, is to get rid of the sickness. And he's seeking answers for sickness and disease, because so many of God's people are sick, going to the doctor, having cancer and all this, and dying and all this, and we know. And I know I've done a lot of teaching on sickness, simply because the devil told me after I lost my husband I'd never do it again. I just want to make the devil out the liar he is. I've been doing it a lot, doing deliverance because of it, too, I'm telling you. And a lot of people are getting delivered from a lot of stuff. Okay, in Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 10, let me see, in the wrong chapter, that's 18. Verse 10 says, "And anyone of the house of Israel or of the strangers who dwell temporarily among you, them who eat any kind of blood, against that person I will set my face, and I will cut him off from among his people, that he may not be included in the atonement made for them." Kind of a serious problem, eating blood, isn't it? Ever eat rare meat? Just red meat, you're still getting blood. "For the life, the animal's soul is in the blood, and I have given it for you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls, for it is the blood that makes atonement by reason of the life which it represents." And verse 14 says, As for the life of all flesh, the blood of it represents the life of it. Therefore I said to the Israelites, you shall partake of the blood of no kind of flesh, for the life of all flesh is in its blood. Whosoever eats it shall be cut off." Tells us if we eat blood, it'll be cut off. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Blood pudding and blood sauces is a delicacy in Europe, and they eat a lot of it. So you may have eaten some and not really been aware of it, or you may have. I know my husband used to eat rare steak, and then he quit when he found out about the blood. And then we did deliverance in the area of eating the blood. And I really learned what eating of the blood does when I ministered to, and I've told this before, tell it again, this woman that was in her 80s. And it was just by chance that I ran into, I had not ever heard anybody teach on eating the blood. And when I was doing deliverance in my home years ago, she said to me, "Would you call the blood off of me?" And I'd never heard that before, the blood off of her. And I said, "What are you talking about?" And she said, "Well, I make blood sausages and blood puddings for my husband, and he eats them. And I know that it's on me." And when I ministered to her, she had a pair of these flax with elastic in them. And she could, even with the elastic, she couldn't hold them up when we got through. She had to hold them, fold them over with her hand. Her stomach went down so from that deliverance from eating of the blood. She repented of it. So we need to repent of our forefathers having eaten the blood. In the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we repent of the sins of our forefathers. We ask you to forgive us first, Father, for eating of the blood of anything that we have eaten and when we knew not what it was in our ignorance. But, Lord, we come and confess it as sin and ask you to forgive us. In the name of Jesus, and we repent of our sins of our forefathers from eating the blood in Jesus' name. And I break every curse over everyone here that came in from eating blood. I break the curse and call the curse out in Jesus' name. And I call out the curse on the blood, blood cancer, leukemia, high blood pressure. Somebody help me with the blood problem. In the name of Jesus, if you got a blood problem, tell me what it is. Anemia. I call it spirit of anemia out in the name of Jesus. Let them go. And diabetes. I call out diabetes. High blood pressure, low blood pressure, stroke. Somebody else help me. Come on, y'all. There's got to be some more of them. Hemophilia. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is that blood clots? What is that when you have to take blood thinner? Hardening of the arteries. Poor circulation. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Now I'm naming them, so y'all work on them. Get them out while I name them, because I'm calling them as I name. In the name of Jesus. I call that blood clots, blood poison. In the name of Jesus, what is that flea bitis that gets in the legs? In the name of Jesus, come on out of there, turn them loose and let them go. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, varicose veins, I'll take that. In the name of Jesus, varicose veins, in the name of Jesus, come on out of there, I break your power and command you to go. Loosen them and come out of there now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, all the blood diseases, all everything from the eating of the blood, come on out in blood, oh, yes, blood transfusion. Anybody here had blood transfusion? I break every soul tie that from the blood transfusion that anyone's had. I call out the souls out of the blood in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, and all the diseases that are in the people that the blood came from, come out of them right now in the name of Jesus. Come out of there. All the blood transfusions, the sickness and disease that's in them, come out now in the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go. You know, I was teaching on soul ties one time, and I'll show you what the blood transfusions can do. I was here teaching in a summer camp. Diane was here with the children, and we were talking. She asked me, she was going to take care of the kids, and she said, "What you teaching on this afternoon?" I said, "I'm teaching on soul ties." And teaching on the transfer of spirits through the blood. And she said, "Let me tell you something." She said she had I don't know when and how it happened, but she told me she had two blood transfusions. And she said her whole personality changed when she had the blood transfusions. I don't remember what the other one, but there was two things. Maybe it was violence or something that came in her. She said, and I know it came through the souls of the blood that I had gotten. So I call out everything that's in the soul. That was proof. Someone had gone through it and knew that the soul was in the blood, and that the personality and diseases can also come through them. Mental illness comes through it, and all kinds of diseases. They check the blood, I know that, but they can't see what's in that person's life when they put that blood under a microscope. And so in the name of Jesus, everything in the blood, in souls and all, come out of the blood right now in Jesus' name. Loosen them and come out of there. Come out of there. All the anything you received in those... I break the generational curses over the blood you received in the name of Jesus. Back to the garden. That's good, Lucy. Thank you. Back to the Garden of Eden in the name of Jesus. I'm sure we're overtaking that because I won't listen to it. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. All the generational curses on the blood. That's good. Come out of there. In the name of Jesus. Let them go. Let them go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you hadn't had any blood, we'll break the generational curses over your blood and my blood in the name of Jesus and command it out. All the diseases from the generational curses, come out of there. Come out of the blood. Father, you said in your word you purify our blood that has not been cleansed. So cleanse our blood, Lord, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. feel like we've been to through surgery in the name of Jesus. And at least it doesn't cost you an arm and leg.
Yeah.
It's very reasonable. Well, I break any curse of blood that comes in through the meat in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You know, God had a certain way to kill it, and they don't kill it that way anymore. That's good, too. Come on out of there. Come on out of there. Curses from the meat we eat and the blood that's left in it. Let them go. Come on out of there. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Okay, now I'm going to make everybody mad. I break the curse of eating pork over everybody here in the name of Jesus. Unclean meat. Come out now in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go. Let them go. You know that other white meat? Come out in Jesus' name. The Bible calls it unclean and it's got worms in it, and I call the worms out. In the name of Jesus. Devil don't want me to do that. Huh? Yeah, it is. Look at Isaiah 65 and 66. It tells you about it. And I call out the curse from the eating of the swine's meat, and I call the worms out. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You know, sometimes you have a little pain here. I got a lady in my church. She's always got pain here. Listen, I love her. I love you. She just told me this shape. I love you. She had one here. She got one back here. And then back here, I said, stop eating. I don't know if she's eating white that meat or not. But I said, stop eating that meat, girl, and get rid of them worms. In the name of Jesus, every worm, come out in Jesus' name. All those worms that's in the meat, come out in Jesus' name. When I found out it had worms in it, I didn't have any trouble giving it up. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we repent of eating unclean meat. Come on out of there. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. Really, those worms can cause all kinds of problems. Yeah, you're not supposed to eat shrimp. Anything that doesn't have scales and fins, you're not supposed to eat. And so, all of that is unclean. Get your Bible. It's in your Bible. Lobster. I used to fish with stuff people eat. And it stunk to high heaven, and I never considered how people could eat. I know it didn't stink probably when they were eating it, but I just... Crawdads. Shrimp. Lobster, catfish is a scavenger, clams, oysters, scallops, you name it, come on out in Jesus' name.
Oysters,
come out in Jesus' name. I break every curse from the seafood that's been eaten. All the unclean, come on out there in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Okay. Well, so far I can't say anything about them because I don't know anything. Praise the Lord. Okay, I'm not going to get to all these curses, these things. I guess I'll do them tomorrow. Boy, a whole page here. They're getting near them. It's okay, tomorrow we'll do them. But I saw a lot of deliverance come doing it this way. Because so many times when I'm reading it and I see the things that I don't have written down, I can call it out. And if I wait till I get through and I don't have it listed, then I don't think of it. Because it's, there's always so much to do, and we're getting a lot of freedom. Now, look, I've got a little bit of time. Excuse me, just a minute. Listen to me just a minute. Anybody have anything in particular they want me to call that? Curse of the, praying to the dead. I break the Catholic Church, a Catholic curse. It's a Catholic curse. A praying for, I think it is. Praying to the dead. I don't know whether any other church does. Okay, I break the curse of praying for the dead, and I call it out right now in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, listen to me. Come out there. In the name of Jesus. I break the curse from the Mormon Church in the name of Jesus of praying for the dead. Come on out there. praying for the dead, whatever, any church that does that, any denomination, and you've been involved in it, we call the spirits out and break the curse of it and call out, come on out of her, let her go, let her go, let her go, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Come on out of every root of it. We break the, cancel the assignment. I break the curse of death off of you, Connie, in the name of Jesus, that came in through your mother through this praying for the dead, and I command it to go. In the name of Jesus Christ, listen to her. Come out of there. Let her go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Come off of her too. In the name of Jesus Christ. Let her go. Let her go. Come on. Let her go in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Anyone else got something that wants to call? Everybody okay? Fear. Any kind. Just fear. Okay, fear. Okay, I break the assignment of fear of you and of everyone here in the name of Jesus, and I call the spirit, the ruler of fear off of you right now. Fear of death, fear of sickness, fear of things happening to you. All that fear has got to go in the name of Jesus. Y'all stretch your hand out toward her, and I'll come back to everybody else. Let's get it off of her. Listen and come at you. All the fear that's tormenting her, I call that tormenting fear off right now in the name of Jesus. Let her go. Let her go. You come out there. Loosen her. You loosen her. You have no right. You tormenting thing. God is not giving her fear. He's giving her love and joy and a peace and a sound mind. Now you come out of there. Come out of there now in Jesus' name. Let her go. Let her go. Come on. Come out of her. Come out of her. Darling, put your hand on her chest in the name of Jesus. Right here. Come out. Put her hand on. In the name of Jesus, anybody else that's got it, we call it off right now for everybody here. Fear, tormenting fear, all fears, fear of accidents, fear of death. Fear of death is a strong spirit, and I call it off. I cancel its assignment and command it to go. Fear of sickness, fear of disease. Come out and let them go. In the name of Jesus, fear of being robbed, fear of darkness, fear of storms. Let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loosen them. Loosen them and let them go. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come cough that thing out, too. Cough real big. Let's get some more of it out. Come on out there. Let her go. Let her go. Out of that tormenting fear. You let her go. Let her go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you've got a fear, cough and let's stir it up and get it out. Fears, come out. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, every fear, I call pride out that's trying to keep it from coming out. Come out of there in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, loosen them. Come out of there in the name of Jesus. I'd like to get a hold of the devil and that torments us so, torments people so. See, I had to overcome fear of being by myself. The greater is he that's within me than he that's in the world. Praise our Lord. And when I hear noise around my house, I say, Father, thank you for the angels that are taking care of me. They're fighting off whatever's trying to get here. Amen. Amen. I hear them wrestling in my house. Two girls, I'm not just saying this. It's truth. I hear the angels literally wrestling the spirits that are come into my house. Or it could be human spirits. I don't know. But I thank God for the protection of the angels. And so fear is a tormentor, and it comes to torment God's people. And he has no right to do it. In the name of Jesus. Uh-huh. I really like this kind of deliverance. Fear. Unbelief and doubt. I call out unbelief in the name of Jesus. I break its power, and I command it to go. Listen to them. And doubt. Come on out of them. Anybody else has got it. Let's get rid of it. Unbelief and doubt. Let them go. Come on out of there now in Jesus' name. Every bit of the unbelief, turn loose and let them go in Jesus' name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, loosen. Loosen and come out in Jesus' name. The Lord Jesus Christ rebukes you. Come on out of there. Doubt. Doubt. Unbelief. Loosen and let go. I call out that hard, unbelieving heart that tries to stop us from receiving from God. The hard, unbelieving heart. Come out now in Jesus' name. Let them go. Let them go in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn them loose. Come on out of there. Come on out of there. I break the assignment of unbelief and fear and doubt from the generational curses from our ancestors that were unbelieving and full of doubt. In the name of Jesus, and I call the curse of unbelief out in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Loosen and come out of there. Let them go. Let them go in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let them go. Let them go. All of the doubt. I break the curse of doubt from our ancestors. You know, our ancestors, a lot of them didn't believe anything. They were churched, religious, but they didn't really believe anything. So we still got in the generation curse. Come on out of there. Come on out of there. Let her go. Let her go. Let me tell you this. Jean, keep calling, would you? Let me tell you this. Keep your deliverance this way. Hear me. This is real important, too. When you walk out of this room and the enemy, the thought pops in your mind, it's not a thought, it's the enemy. He'll say, you didn't get anything, or you didn't get what you thought you did. You tell him he's a liar and the truth's not in him. Rebuke the thought. Say, I rebuke you, devil. You're not. If you accept it, he'll come back in. Don't let him. You know, over in Matthew 12, when you go back over there and you read where Jesus said, was talking about the, he was cast out that spirit out of the man, and the scripture said that when the unclean spirit is gone out of the house, he wanders around in the desert finding no place to stay. He goes back into his house and brings seven worse than his first. Well, he can't come back in if you won't let him. And he's wanting you to open the door so he can bring his friends in. And don't let him. Stand your ground. And you use the blood of Jesus against him. I'm going to pray for filling. And that God will fill us with his presence. But you have got to. You know the scripture says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And this is the way you resist him. You resist him with the word. You say, no. The word said that they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. I have been delivered and you're not coming back into my house. And you do your warfare. You'll have to do it for a little while. But once you stand your ground, it will leave and leave you alone. And you rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Okay, let's fill up, okay? It's not good. It's not good. As long as he's there, you really need to bind spirits from him. You need to bind curses from him. And I would pray him off, however you can get him off. I don't know if you can just get him, tell him to move or whatever, but whatever you have to do, pray him off. You don't need him there. Because he is an enemy. The enemy has brought him in, and you can't deliver or save anybody unless they want it. God won't go against a person's will. They have to want it. So many times people want to pray us to pray deliverance on their husband or their kids, and I always say we'll pray God's will on them because that's all you can really do. You pray what's God's will. God wants them saved. He wants them filled with the Holy Ghost. He wants them delivered. So I said, Lord, I just pray your will on them. But yeah. Okay, well, what you need to do is ask the Father to keep a hedge around your pop, around you and your house, and be careful you don't open doors. And that's not to tell you to be fearful, but just protect yourself. You have authority to protect yourself. Okay, now let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, as we lift our hands to you, Father, in praise and adoration for you having delivered the deliverance that came forth, Lord. You delivered us, and you said they that call that will be received. And Lord, I thank you for the deliverance that we've had. And now, Father, as we worship you and praise you, we ask that you fill us, Lord. Fill us. Fill every place where the spirits have come out. Fill them with the spirit of the Lord, the fear of the Lord, the spirit of counsel, the spirit of might, and understanding and knowledge, all the spirits of you, Father, all the spirits of God. I ask, Father, that you put in a sound mind, power, love, and a sound mind in Jesus' name, and agape love within us, Father, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, I bind every spirit that's left in anyone. And I bind the spirits in this that have been cast out and ask for the angels to come take them to the bottomless pit, bind them in the pit till the day of judgment. And in the name of Jesus, I bind backlash and retaliation. I ask you, Father, to cover each one with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And, Father, we give you praise and honor and glory for your goodness, for your mercy and your grace. And Lord, we give, just thank you for all that you've done and all that you're doing in Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.